All right, it is 10 a.m. on March 15th, 2022. We are here in room 303 at Farmington, Utah, commencing our regularly scheduled Davis County Commission meeting. I've asked Mike Pace from our information systems to lead us in the pledge. Mike.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, we'd like to open it up to public comments and ask those of the public to state their names and where they're from and keep it around 3 minutes if they could. So opportunity for public comment. Okay, seeing none, we'll move down to our public hearing and Chief Clerk Deputy Heidi Wardeckers for additional appropriation requests, budget requests.
Thank you, Commissioner. For this budget hearing, we have the proposed items for Fund 10, vehicle-related expenditures for the Sheriff's Office of $26,000 and $80,000 for the vehicle portion of that, for a total of $106,000. These are two vehicles that were originally budgeted in 2021 that we're receiving in 2022. In the Clerk Auditor's Office, election revenues of $4,651. For the HAVA grant, funding that's for election system security upgrade, cameras up in the election area. Also in the Clerk Auditor's Office, an allocation of $6,201 being transferred out to Fund 62 for the purchase of those cameras. In the Health Department, contract revenues tied to a Department of Health Services grant for Alzheimer's disease and related dementias programs, revenues of $10,000 and miscellaneous supplies of $10,000. In seniors, vehicle expenditures of $17,600 for a matching grant that was received by UTA. Total purchase will be $88,000 with UTA funding $70,400 of that. In the Health Department capital, $680,000 for the acquisition of property by the Clearfield Building for the expansion of parking. In tourism capital, $1,100,000 in expenditures for building improvements for the architecture services on the proposed Legacy Event Center project, the rest of the project being funded by debt service. Probably important to note that $200,000 was funded at the last budget hearing to get the project started. We're moving faster on that than the debt's being issued, and so we're using some fund balance towards that project. In the Gulf Fund for Valley View, $4,599 for grounds repairs for the purchase of trees that were damaged in the windstorm in 2019. These were funded by insurance funds that were received. And at Davis Park, that amount is $11,089. The last item is Fund 62, allocation revenues of $6,201, funding coming in from the general fund for the purchase of security camera upgrades and elections, so the offsetting expense of $6,201.
Very good.
No, we got question answered before, and thank you so much for sharing it all publicly, Heidi. Would you like a motion for that? Yep. Okay, I'll move opening of the public hearing for any questions.
Second.
The motion is second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All right, opportunity for those that would like to make a public comment on the opening of this budget. Okay, seeing none.
I'll make a motion that we close the public hearing at this time and we approve item one, the additional 2022 budget appropriations and adjustments.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. All right, moving down to business and action items. Animal Care Director Ashley Young.
Today we have before you our adoption numbers for February. We did do 129 total adoptions. 62 of those were cats, 61 dogs, and 6 other species.
It's always interesting because we have some members of the public. What are those 6 other species?
So In February, we had a lot of reptiles. Okay. We actually had a seizure of several geckos that were with us for a while and some snakes.
Yeah. There wasn't the one that's on the commercial, was there, by chance?
No, unfortunately, none of them talked. It was very disappointing.
I'll make a motion that we approve item number two for animal care.
Second.
We have a motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thanks,
Thank Ashley. You. All right, from our clerk auditor's office, Chief Deputy Brian McKenzie.
Morning, Commissioners. We have before you today an agreement with Provox Systems. This is for an agenda management system. It's a software program that will assist the clerk's office in the preparation of the agenda for the commission, as well as assisting with the preparation of the minutes and the workflow process associated with that. This is also a system that will be able to be used in other public boards and bodies that the county is involved with. So it's a great program that we're looking at. It's as a result of an RFP that we went through throughout this last year. The term of the agreement is for 5 years, beginning on the date that it's executed. And the total cost of this, there's a one-time, the first year, $37,850 for that first year. And then after that, it's $20,700 each year for the ongoing licensing and agreement of the software.
I move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, moving on to Community and Economic Development, Director Ken Anderson.
Morning, Commission. You have your consideration item number four, which is an approval of a contract with New Life Consignment for the Just Between Friends Children Toy and Clothing Consignment Sale. Receivable in the amount of $7,021.83 beginning 8/22/2022 to 8/27/2022. Item number five is an approval of a sponsorship agreement with On Pitch Performing Arts for the Discover Davis 2022 sponsorship, payable in the amount of $3,000 beginning 1/3/2022 to 12/3/2022. Now, item six and seven are combined. One is a participation with the construction and the installation of a Weber River box culvert under Highway 89. So this will be the connection for the Bonneville Shoreline Trail that will be tied to the 89-84 improvement project, as well as a cooperative agreement to maintain the Weber River box culvert under 89. Item number six is an approval of a cooperative agreement with the UDOT Department of Transportation to maintain the Weber River box culvert under Highway 89. Item number seven is an approval of the betterment agreement with the Utah Department of Transportation to pay a portion of the cost to install the Weber River box culvert under Highway 89. Terms payable in the amount of $399,553.68. Just for some context, UDOT's paying the lion's share of this project, about an approximately additional $2 million on that.
And I do have a question.
Yeah.
I believe Mayor Schoblem of South Weber was very active in this process with UDOT and that trail. Yes, she was. I'm just so proud of her.
She was very instrumental in helping make this happen.
Yeah.
She deserves a lot of credit.
I give her public credit for this. It's huge, a huge asset to the trail system. And thank you for bringing that up and affirming it, because that's what I thought. She was very active. Good for her, good for all of us, good for South Weber.
She went down to the legislature, and she went to UDOT's board and legislated for this, and was largely, should be credited with getting UDOT to pay for the lion's share of this project.
And Jeff, just a little bit, thank you. I mean, I can see the joy in our faces. It's a big deal. Trails are a very big deal in Davis County and along the entire Bonneville shoreline. So does this culvert, will there be lighting, and how is it to prevent any water from collecting down low? Tell us what you know about the design.
It won't get water in it. Even if the Weber River flooded, which is pretty rare these days, but even if it flooded, this is designed to run water away from it. So we're not worried about having a flooding problem. it's a long culvert because it's being designed to incorporate the future expansion of 89 and that whole 84 interchange. So it's going to be pretty long. It's like 170 feet long. So it will have lights in it, and we will have to maintain those lights. We'll be talking about how to do that most effectively. I'm sure that occasionally we'll probably have some graffiti to deal with, just like you do everywhere else. But this is the public benefit to this, I think, outweighs, you know, what we're going to have to do from a maintenance standpoint. And the box culvert's ours to take care of, but we're taking care of other culverts. And I mean, it will outlive all of us, so.
No. Did we use third quarter Prop 1 dollars for our share?
Yeah, Prop 1.
Prop 1 dollars.
Is what we're using for that, so.
Well, thanks for your work on it, too, Jeff. Good for you. There should be well, joy on your face. Yeah. And there's certainly, it's a great asset. Yay. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff, and good questions. Thank you. Item number 8 is essentially a cleanup contract where we're making some modifications to the term and some of the eligible activities in the scope of work. So item number 8 is approval of an amendment to the Agreement of Distribution of CARES Act Funds, BCHA, with the Bountiful Community Food Pantry to include rental assistance. Originally, the terms of this one are beginning 10-1-2020 to 12-31-2020. The original terms of the scope was specific to mortgage assistance and went from 11-15-2020 to 12-31-20. So there's some activity that occurred prior to that and then included some rental assistance. So we wanted to make a modification. Those were spent in coordination and cooperation with the eligible use of the CARES Act funds. Item number 9 is an approval of a contract with the Wasatch Front Regional Council, Wasatch Front Economic Development District, to provide a scope of services through Lewis, Young, Robertson, and Birmingham to complete an update of the county's Economic Development Strategic Plan, terms beginning 1-1-2022 to 5-31-2022. This item is only specific to Attachment D, the Local Government Understanding, which essentially states that the county will work with the consultant and WFRC to complete this project.
Very good. I move approval of items 4 through 9 as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ken.
Facilities Director Lane Rose. Lane.
Good morning, Commission. For your item number 10, for your approval is our waste management or waste services with Robinson Waste Services for 15 of our county facilities. This is to remove and haul away all of our dumpsters. This is payable in the amount of $2,100 monthly and beginning April 1st, 2022, ending, this is a 5-year service contract, ending 3/31 of 2027. Mm-hmm.
Lane, how much difference is that than what we have been paying?
Minimal. We were about, I think, about $1,800 a month.
So Robinson was the one doing it.
Yeah, Robinson was, and they came in as the lowest bidder. Okay. We did an RFQ.
I'll make a motion that we approve item 10, the contract with Robinson Waste, as presented to us by the Director, Lane Rose.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thanks, Lane.
All right. Property Manager Tony Thompson presenting for on behalf of the Health Department some acquisitions we're doing there.
Good morning. That's right. I'm here for the representing the Health Department. The Director, Brian, is in the back there, and he's happy to get this property under contract. Under the way, what you have is two real estate purchase contracts before you that need to be ratified. They've been presented to the seller, and they've accepted the terms of it and the prices. So we've got first contract number 11 is to purchase property at 110 South Main. Tax ID number is 12-020-0033. Purchase price of that is $330,000. That came back. Both of these prices were established by an appraisal that we had done on the property. So and number 12 is ratification of a real estate purchase contract. The seller on both of these are Raylene Hazen. dealing with her deceased father's estate. So we have this with a title company, and that tax ID number for number 12 is 12-020-0047. Purchase amount on that is $340,000. Along with ratification of these two items, we'll, like I said, we'll be having the settlement done at Stewart Title, so there'll be some closing documents that'll need to be signed along with acceptance of the conveyance deed, the warranty deeds. When they come to us, we'll have those, and if we could get that action approved, we can just do that over the counter when we get those deeds in and get those recorded. So purpose of having those deeds accepted is just so that normal people can't deed property to the county. The recorder's office knows that when they're accepted by the government body, that they're to be officially removed from the tax roll. So that's the purpose of having those deeds accepted by the government body. So with that, I would answer any questions if you have them.
So this is parking lot space.
That's what they've got it ear tagged as, is parking. So the health department is doing a lot of business up there along with the senior center, and parking is tight. So the need to expand and extend the parking to the south of the building has become a need. So,
and this was not done through condemnation or anything else. It was willing seller.
Willing seller, and we're willing buyer. So,
yep.
I'll make a motion that we approve items 11 and 12 that was presented to us by our property manager, Tony Thompson.
Second.
Motion a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Tony. Excited for health department.
Information systems. That'll be Mike Pace from Information Systems. Mike.
Here we have an approval of a contract with Past Solutions. It's a network monitoring software and troubleshooting and reporting, payable in the amount of $20,496 beginning today, running through 3/15 of 2023. We also have approval of an agreement with Montecito Inc. This is website scanning and analytics for accessibility. This is payable in the amount of $5,500 beginning today, running through 3/15/2023.
Thank you, Mike. I move approval of 13 and 14 as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, from the Sheriff's Office, Chief Deputy, Butch.
Yeah, you're not looking like Susan Polson today.
Sorry, a little bit under the weather today, so she asked me to step in for her, so... before you have an agreement with the Jason Reed Protection and Service Foundation. If you're not aware of who Jason Reed is, Jason Reed was a Centerville officer that was unfortunately killed in a motorcycle accident off duty. And he was very, very active in public safety and law enforcement and that in Davis County, just a great guy. And his family and his memory created this foundation, and where they contribute to public safety across Davis County. And so this is for the amount of $4,200. The check has already been received. They came in on March 3rd and donated that check to us. So this is just the official acceptance of this check for protective gear.
Was this featured in the paper in the Davis Journal? I feel like I saw a picture.
I know that it was put out through our public social media stuff. I couldn't tell. I couldn't speak to that. So.
Yeah, it was. And I did wonder about the history of that. So that's really nice to know. And do you have the other one?
I only had one, didn't I?
The other one?
16 for the jail.
Sorry, we got one more backside page here, don't we?
Yeah.
So thank you. This is approval of the contract with David L. Jensen and Associates for engineering services for the Davis County Jail domestic hot water boiler replacement project. And if you are, I'm sure you're all familiar with that. This has been a couple years in the makes, and it's actually, I think it's hard for Mitch to see these boilers be replaced because they've stood the test of time for 30 something years.
He's attached to them, probably.
Yeah, I think so. they're not quite as energy efficient as the newest ones and everything like that, but we've had new ones that we've replaced I don't know how many times, right, Curtis? Twice.
These have been a war horse of a boiler system, so.
That's amazing. Wow. And Mitch knows everything about that place.
Right. So, and I apologize. I missed that. So.
That's fine. Fine. I move approval of items 15 and 16 as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
I'll make a motion that we go out of our regular commission meeting into our Board of Equalization.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Curtis.
Thank you, Commissioners. You have for your consideration under the property tax register today 81 different entities that have applied for tax-exempt status, and we are recommending approval of that tax-exempt status. Under corrections, we have 4 veteran exemption tax abatements for the year 2021. We have 5 items related to a parcel that, upon review of the county surveyor, it does not exist, and so we need to abate those taxes and have them go away. You can see they're small dollar taxes of under $20 per year, and so that is because that parcel does not exist. And last but not least, you have a request to grant a residential exemption for a home that is a primary residence of the citizens.
And Curtis, since we have citizens here learning, you want to explain how we recess and what the Board of Equalization is and a little bit about these different exemptions that exist by law?
Sure. The Board of Equalization is composed of the commission, and they have the ability to adjust or correct errors in the tax system. And so on a weekly basis, we go through the property tax register as recommended by my office, the tax administration, as well as the treasurer's office and the assessor's office to make appropriate adjustments to taxes through, in these cases, abatements or, excuse me, simply granting tax-exempt status, or in some instances where we need to make corrections, where there's factual errors in data, we can go in and correct those. Or in special circumstances, taxes can be abated by the Board of Equalization.
And I believe your office has done something to do a nice outreach for veterans who qualify.
So we have, excuse me, so we have various programs for abatements for folks that are low income or indigent, blind, and they're called blind and circuit breaker tax abatements to help the public that is struggling with income levels. And then, of course, we have the veterans exemption for those that have served and have a percentage of disability. They can qualify for a reduction in their taxes.
That's great. Thank you so much. I move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I move we reconvene commission meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All right. Opportunity for public, I mean, commission comments. Anything from Curtis and Neil? Okay.
No comment. Thank you.
All right. Irene?
Let's see. Ask Bob first.
Okay. Well, Commissioner Stevenson.
Would you like me to make something up to give you time, or I can tell a few stories or whatever you'd like, Lorene? So, I was, just real quick, I was able to attend a USIP seminar that was held. Where they talked about some of the things dealing with the upcoming liability struggles that we may have as far as being covered. One of the topics, it was actually one of the main key things, was about cybersecurity. I actually had a discussion with Mark a couple of days ago on it, and the fact that cybersecurity, as time goes by and as more and more things become digital, will become a very, very big deal. And it was interesting, as they talked about, realistically across the country, the IT departments realize this and are working very hard to try to protect themselves. They did say that the part that is the struggle right now is basically the rest of us who are not willing to take this cybersecurity seriously. And in visiting with Mark Langston about the fact that you know, one of the things that we're going to need to do here at the county, and actually throughout the county with the cities and that, is to pick up pick up our pace a little bit on cybersecurity for all of us to be able to be protective there. When people are able to hack in, a lot of times they hack in through, you know, computers that are being used by employees and work their way into the mainframe as far as that goes. So that was, it was very interesting on that and something I think that we will continue to improve on.
Thank you. Here's something that's interesting. This past Thursday, we had our monthly Criminal Justice Coordinating Council. This is considered a best practice in the nation, but very few counties in the state of Utah have a Criminal Justice Coordinating Council. There was legislation that passed just in this last session to actually require all counties in Utah to have one. We are fortunate because back in 2019, honestly, it was Chief Deputy Butcher had some input from a citizen. He is nodding in agreement. Yes, where the citizen herself had someone in the jail in her family and had kind of questions and wanted to get people together, but the citizen wasn't able to do that. However, I was asked if I could bring people together, and so we started getting together, a Criminal Justice Coordinating Council, years ahead of the law requiring it, and it has grown to be quite a wonderful group. It is not a policy-making committee. It is to prevent silos in the system and to enhance collaboration of all of the parts of the system. So that includes the sheriff's responsibilities, which is also jail, and our chief corrections officer, the prosecuting attorney for the county who's elected, also the defense attorney, the managing defender for the county, much less known, but super duper important for the, I can see you understand that, super duper important. And we also have something that started, Davis County invested in a pre-trial department before Commissioner Stevenson and I became into office. And it turns out that the manager of that pre-trial department is pretty incredible. And so that's kind of the core of the group, but then we've had people want to be part of it, and that includes some city police chiefs and adult probation and parole. Davis Behavioral Health does some very important work with our county and including in the jail. And so we have this coordinating council that meets for an hour every month. There are also judges who have wanted to be part of it. And so it just so happens that we already have something that's now required by law, and it's a pretty awesome group. So criminal justice, a big part of government and giving the constitutional rights to everyone, whether they can afford to pay or not. So you can ask more about that another time, but we meet every single month, and we just barely had that meeting on Thursday.
Thank you. And just real quick, anything from the congressional office? Rhonda.
Good morning. I did want to give a quick update on the spending bill that I talked about last week.
And Rhonda Perks works for Congressman Chris Stewart's
office.
Yes,
I am here representing Congressman Chris Stewart. So that omnibus bill that was presented last week, and in general, Congressman Stewart does not like omnibus bills. Unfortunately, they seem to come up more often than not, particularly in recent years. They did something this time around. It's called dividing the question. So they basically allowed the bill to have two separate votes. So they divided up the money, and one pot was defense and security, and then the other pot was everything else. And that enabled a lot of the Republicans that just were not willing to vote for that bill to at least vote for the defense and spending part. Is that a good thing? I don't know, but it at least allowed us to vote for that portion of the bill. So it was like $780 billion for the defense part and $730 billion for everything else. Both of them actually passed, but it passed much more heavily on the defense side. But, you know, the other portion of that spending is just, it just was not something that Congressman Stewart supported at all, and you voted against that. And the reporting on that in Utah was just not super complete, because you will read in a couple of different outlets that, you know, the entire Utah delegation voted for the bill, which is sort of true. They all voted. They all voted the same way. All four congressmen voted yay on the defense part and nay on the other part. So I just wanted to maybe give a little update on that. And then in terms of Russia-Ukraine, I'll just give one update. Most of you probably had read about the proposition to deliver Polish fighter jets to the Ukraine via a U.S. air base in Germany. Congressman Stewart was very much in support of that. That was vetoed by the White House. He felt like that was the wrong decision there. So, you know, he felt like that could have been helpful and also would have maybe indicated more strength than it did in the end when it was vetoed. So that's all for me. Thank you so much for letting me come up.
All right. I don't have any comments, so this meeting is adjourned.